The NATO Leaders Summit in Madrid has ended, with US President Joe Biden sending a strong message to Russia about the support Ukraine can count on from the alliance.
Ukraine has already dealt a severe blow to Russia. Russia, in fact, has already lost its international standing. Russia's in a position where the whole world's looking and saying, wait a minute. All this effort, you tried to take the whole country, you tried to take Kyiv, you lost. You've tried to take the Donbass and all of it. You haven't done that yet. The generic point is that we're supplying them with the capacity and the overwhelming courage they've demonstrated that, in fact, they can continue to resist the Russian aggression. And so I don't know how it's going to end, but it will not end with a Russian defeat of Ukraine in Ukraine.
Well, our correspondent Rosie Burchard has been in Madrid throughout the summit and she's with us now. Kia ora, Rosie. Thank you for being with us on RNZ National. The end of the summit. What's the takeaway?
Well, NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg billed this as a historic summit, and there have been some historic decisions taken here. First and foremost, NATO will be welcoming two new members, Finland and Sweden, that are set to join the alliance. Their accession protocol, that's the documents that will really unlock the next steps, will be signed on Tuesday. And I was in President Biden's press conference. He said the fact that these two countries, which have long been committed to military non-alignment, are now seeking to join NATO just shows, he said, that Vladimir Putin's attempt to divide or weaken this alliance has failed. Now, more than that, NATO leaders have rewritten their security doctrine for the next 10 years. This is a document called their strategic concept that lays out their plans, their vision for the future. And in that, they have labelled Russia as the most significant and direct threat to the alliance's security. They have also name-checked China as a systemic challenge, presenting challenges to the alliance's security and values. This summit was about looking outwards, more support for Ukraine. There was these Asia-Pacific partners there, of course, with Prime Minister Ardern present for day one of the summit, but also, Susie, a real focus on NATO internal defences, on beefing up defences for members of the alliance, and particularly Eastern European countries, which feel pretty exposed to security risks just now due to their proximity to Russia. So some new troop announcements and more weapons to be deployed along the alliance's eastern flank to really beef up deterrence. And what NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg says will be the biggest shake-up in this alliance's defensive posture since the Cold War.
And more commitments to defence spending, also further military aid coming for Ukraine. Is it going to be enough?
Well, President Zelensky says his country needs more support still. He addressed leaders virtually on day one of their summit on Wednesday. He pleaded with them for more weapons, particularly those heavy weapons, and for more financial aid. So those calls have in some way been answered. We had a new pledge from the United Kingdom, a massive £1 billion British pounds in more funding for Ukraine. The US saying it's going to unveil a further $800 million in support. Canada also pledging fresh military aid, but whether it's enough to really move the needle on the battlefield remains to be seen. And of course, Ukrainian President Zelensky will always say his country needs more still. These pledges, while they are significant, do not live up to the kind of figures he's been asking for. There is a focus here on trying to transition Ukrainian forces away from Soviet-era weapons toward more modern arms. But that's something, Susie, which takes time. It takes time to train up Ukrainian soldiers. NATO Chief Stoltenberg has reiterated that very sobering warning that this war could drag on for months, if not years. So NATO allies are trying to figure out how they can support Ukraine really in the long term. They say as long as it takes, while also making sure this war doesn't spill over into NATO territory.
And with Russia having effectively the finger pointed at them, what response has been forthcoming?
Well, Russia sees NATO as a threat to its security. It's accused NATO of having imperialist ambitions. That's something the alliance denies. NATO says it's purely a defensive alliance, and all these troops which will be stationed along NATO's borders with Russia are in fact there to prevent a conflict and not to provoke one. So we see really these two sides totally at odds here. And China, for example, has accused NATO of returning to a Cold War mentality. That's after, as I said, NATO leaders mentioned China for the very first time in their strategic concept document, saying that it presented a systemic competition to the alliance. So they did not go as far as to label it as a threat. So really lots of geopolitical shifting tectonic plates here in European geopolitics. And of course, with those Asia-Pacific partners, present here, that was Japan, the Republic of Korea, New Zealand and Australia. That was also NATO saying they want to deepen those partnerships, strengthen them for the future.
Thank you very much, correspondent Rosie Burchard, who's been at that NATO summit in Madrid.